About in the Bible, you would do yourselves well to know what it says. So I'm going to break this verse down. It's a simple verse. First word is? Next three? Next two? Rest of it? Turn to somebody and say that. I really think that this church, all Christians, need to know that verse. It's Colossians 3:20. Say Colossians 3:20. Say the verse to somebody. Okay, we good? Okay, I think we got it. I'm going to break this down, make it as simple as I can. I love the Bible because it is basically a very, very simple book. If you just look at the Lord and say, hey, God, I'm about to read your word and I'm thick-headed, you might as well say what I say because that's what I say. Give me a little insight into your word so I can please you better. How could anybody not get that verse? I don't know. There's a whole lot of chaos in churches and in our culture. So I'm going to break this down using five words for your 5 points. Here's the first one. Who? Who? Okay, but think about this. There's three categories of people in that verse. So I'm going to go in reverse order, if you will, to capture the hierarchy, if you will, of authority. Because it talks about children, obey your, for it pleases the, do you see the three? So we're going to start with Lord. Paul introduced the Lord back in Colossians 1:3 when he said, and you could, if you got your Bibles, you could look at Colossians 1:3. He says, the Lord Jesus Christ. Who's the Lord he's talking about? Jesus, okay? And because he is Lord, Paul kept writing about that. Remember, verse 1, or chapter 1, chapter 2, he lays out truth, then he gives you the practical application of truth. So in Colossians 1:10, just a few verses after he talked about the Lord Jesus Christ, here's what he said. So that you may live the Lord in every way. Sounds like that's what Paul wants us to do. Jesus is who we're talking about. We're to please him and live worthy of his sacrifice for us. Colossians 2:6, you may have to turn the page and look at this one. It says in Colossians 2:6, just as you received Christ Jesus as, continue to live, remember the words, in or with. In other words, be spiritual. Don't be carnal. Be an aggressive Christian, an active Christian, not a passive, wimpy Christian. That's what Paul's telling us in the first two chapters. Paul lets us know that the Lord is the one we serve. You don't serve your pastor. You serve the Lord. What would the Lord have you to do? And we serve him by our obedience and by our efforts. Now look at Colossians 3. Keep moving in that text. Look at verse 23. Whatever you do, work with your heart. Does it say your heart? All. As we're Pastor Don, right? No, the Lord for human masters. Pause. This applies to our government also. You stand accountable to God. Not some president, not some court, and not some health department. You stand accountable to Almighty God. Now that means you better know what you're standing on, right? But in terms of authority, the Lord one. That's who you have to worry about pleasing. Verse 24, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward, if you obey and you with all of your heart serve him and do the things that he's asking you to do, there is a reward. We'll talk about rewards in the month of November, October and November. We'll be talking about our end time series. And one of the messages will be on Christian rewards. It is Christ you are serving. Now, do you get what Paul's telling you here? Over and over and over, who do we serve? That including children. And if this is the case, that we are serving the Lord, and he expects us to do it with all of our heart. And there is rewards, and you'll learn in October and November that there is loss of rewards for our effort, for our faith, for our obedience. Parents, you better teach your kids the Christian faith. Not just bring them to church and expect somebody else to do it. Same with our teens. It is on you as a mom and dad, grandpa and grandma, to invest in the people that God has given you. Do you remember the passage where it says children are an inheritance of the Lord? We have to teach, emphasize, and remind our children. It is really wrong for you to tell your kids this, because I said so or told you so. Now, that may be true. It's much easier to put your child down if there's been disobedience and say, God has given you as a gift to me. I understand that I am fully accountable to God for how I invest in you. You will for every decision you make. Do you understand that, Ralphie? And if they don't, until they agree that that is what God has said. All is serving the Lord out of love. I would be an improper parent if I did not discipline you for your disobedience. That's how you talk to children. You don't just wail on them. Send them to the room. Take away their iPhone for an hour. What from that? Parents. That's the Lord. Here's parents. In the context of chapter 3, Paul introduces family responsibility before social responsibility, meaning the government, meaning your place at work. Family responsibility in this context, God expects you to follow it. That's why it's first. The primary accountability for a child, again, are parents. Our parents. Now, what does it mean when it says obey your parents? You just have to look at our culture and see the general lack of respect that children and youth in general, hear this, this is totally generalization, but in general, have towards authority figures, towards our identity as a nation, towards our sense of history, and towards you. Would you agree? Help me with this one, and you don't have to blurt anything, but you ought to think, who teaches them that? You? You need the good beating if you do. Who? And we may have a number of who's here. You got to really think about that. Our kids leave your boat for about 6 to 8 hours where? School. Schools wouldn't teach them that, would they? Would their peer group from non-Christian homes possibly influence them? You figure it out. Parents have got to ask themselves, why are my kids bringing all of this stuff and these ungodly values and opinions into our house? What, somebody on the street corner is handing them a leaflet? Here, Fred, read this. Somebody is. Would you agree? There's a general lack of respect. By all kids, not at all. In this church, we have great children, great teens. Our children's ministry clubhouse and our teen ministry, The Bridge, work their rears off to help your children grow in their faith. They can only do that if they're there. Make sense? If your kids aren't there, how is our youth ministry and our children's ministry actually going to support you? Just love that sound when it's quiet. How can they help you if they're not there? Now, in the Bible, over and over and over again, it tells you this, that the lack of respect for parents and those So it's broader than just parents, but it's much bigger than that. But parents are specifically mentioned throughout Scripture, number of places, for their responsibility, but also the signs of children who are more pagan than they are godly. Romans 1, 28 through 30. Now catch this. In this passage, it is the one passage in Scripture that totally illustrates the current world that we live in. Romans 1, 18 through 32. So I'm just choosing a couple verses out that mention you, parents. Verse 28. First, as they, meaning the pagan world, did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God. They blew God off. You remember 1960, I believe it was, when they said God is? So God over. Catch this. This is the world you live in. God gave pagan peoples, the secular culture, the culture you and I go to school in, the culture, our neighborhoods, God gave to a depraved mind so that what they do so that they do what ought not to be done. In other words, they just live any kind of life at once. He goes on. They have become filled with every kind of wickedness. Think of our culture, how perverted our culture is. Every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, depravity. They are full of envy, murder, they kill people. Jesus said, if you hate somebody, you're a murderer. Do you remember that? The law is much bigger than the printed word. They are partially full. Envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice. They are gossips, slanderers, gossips, insolent, arrogant, bold. New ways of doing evil. That's our culture. And then it says this. They disobey their parents. Children who disobey their parents, they're being influenced by the secular world. And unchecked, this is what happens to people. You may not believe that, and you're entitled to your wrong opinion. Because this is what God says. This isn't what Don says. This is what God's put in His Scripture for 2,000 years. So now we've talked about the Lord. We've talked about parents. We have a role to play. And if your kids are already manifesting disobedience and any of these other traits, it's not going to be a pleasant journey for them in life. Here's what it says about children. Now, here's what we have to understand in that passage. First word is children. Does not refer to any age group. Now, some of you may be thinking, well, yeah, 3 and 5-year-olds, right? No. There's no age group mentioned here. It's a general term, and it refers in the original language to which the Bible was written. To mean any child living with their parents. Now stop and think. We've heard about boomerang kids and all these different terms, right? Any of you ever had, don't raise your hand and don't grumble out loud. Have you ever had a kid, their children or whatever, move home for a period of time or forever? And do you find that there's some sort of tension with them when you say, if you're going out, I'd like you to let us know by midnight. Have you caught that? That's called disobedience and disrespect to parents. The proper response from a parent is, so when are you moving then? Can I help you in the next hour? And I know there's a lot of, you think you're kind-hearted. No, we're wimpy. You haven't got much of a backbone if you let your children dictate the rules of your household. In the life of chapter 2, verse 51 and 52. Here's who? Jesus, the Lord, who came onto planet Earth to show you and I how we're supposed to live. It says in Luke 2, 51, then he, Jesus, went down to Nazareth with them, his parents, and was obedient to them. You know what? How old he is here? 12. At the age 12 and 13 in the Jewish culture, we call it today a bar mitzvah. In that culture, you reached a state where you had to take an oral exam and explain the faith. And in God's eyes, at 12 or 13, you are responsible to him for breaking the law. But Jesus at that age went home. Not only, we know he obeyed his father. How did he treat his parents? Say it. He was obedient to them. If Jesus felt it important to do it, where do our kids get an opinion on how the house should be run? They can have all the opinions they want. Not as long as you're under verse 52. And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. That's for the next 18 years of his life. He was obedient to his parents as long as he was under their roof. Parents who allow a grown-up child to live in their home. And by the way, that is not a right, kids. That's called a, not enough adults said it, it's called a privilege. No one tells you that once your child reaches the legal of an adulthood that you ever have to take them back in. It is a, if it's a man, they don't dictate the rules. Try going and tell the that you're going to stay there for a week. Okay, glad he'll sign you. But now I'm going to tell you how to run the hotel. How well will that work? Well, you say, well, that's stupid. It's even stupider, that's a word, I think. It's even stupider for a child to learn that, and it's stupidest for a parent to agree to that. Children hear their parents say it. It says, obey and how much? Now the word everything, I know there's some minds out there just going, does that mean if they tell me to do something horrible? All right, grow up. No. There's perfectly logical and scriptural boundaries, if you will, for our obedience. But parent, you are to obey their parent, and I believe it's Dakota or Robert who mentioned, unless they tell you to do something, what was it? Yeah, illegal, crazy, whatever. But if a parent says to you, I'd like you to call us at 11, proper response from a child should be, it's a privilege. Now, that's the who. Now we deal with the what. What is involved in obedience? It says obey your parents. What does that mean? The word obey implies a readiness to hear and carry out orders. That implies a child should be listening to their parents, not just in a daydream, listening to what the parents are saying. And if unsure about that, they should raise their hand or say out loud, I'm really not sure about that. Could you clarify it to a kid who used their brain? But don't you hear your parents say something, go out and strew what they said because you didn't like it. Your parents want you to call at 11. Well, it's 11:05. It's all got an 11 there, doesn't it? Really? You're that goofy? Now, here's a picture that totally captures the essence of what obedience means. Think about it. Got a little cocky smile on her, or a little cute smile. It works either way, right? What is she standing by? A door. A door. Obedience means to be ready to hear and ready to do or go. The same term that is used for obey here is used in Acts chapter 12, verse 13. It says, Simon Peter knocked at the outer entrance. If you're hearing somebody knock on the door, what's your thought? Yeah, who is it? Are you just going to let them knock? Bad person there. No, aren't you going to at least say, get up and find who is there? Okay. Peter knocked at the outer entrance, and a servant named Rhonda, that's why I chose a little girl here, a servant named Rhonda came to answer the door. The phrase answer the door, the word obey is the same word. It means to hear and then what? Do or go. Obey means hearkening to a request or a command and responding, get this, and I think one of the boys said this, in the right time with the right attitude. We can all hear that we're supposed to do something, and we do it on our time with a modification and while we grumble. Yes? That's not obedience. Well, the job got done. That's not obedience. Obedience is doing it in the right order. It means the right way, the right time, with the right attitude. That's obedience. Very simple. The implication is that your obedience is to be much more than just going through the motions or checking the dots. If you think about it, if you have loving parents, remember, loving husband and a submissive mom, if you are following, if you have a biblical home, a child ought to see this as one of the greatest gifts they'll ever receive in their life. Our parents who want to direct them. Parents who truly want the best for them. Parents who want them to find Jesus. That's the way a child of any age should understand a command or a request to do something. It means to listen and what? To hear and to go, hear and to do. Here's a third term when you look at it. You didn't know this one verse could be so complicated, did you? It's when. We've got who, then we have what? What? Yeah, you're right. Then you have when. When are we to obey? It says obey your. Implicit in that phrase, the word obey is in what's called the present tense. If you study Greek, you learn present tense. If you're in English class where you have a good English teacher, you learn all the tenses and things like that. Continuous tense means all the time. It's not that, well, I obeyed last Friday night when I called at 11, but this is Saturday night a week later. Surely my parents have forgotten. Yeah, I don't think so either. So I'll just say it. Feel. Folks, that is disobedience. Part of obedience is disobedience. Behavior and attitude is everything. It's not a one-time incident. Now, you may hear people sitting here who are growling just a little bit. Because they don't agree with that. They think that's ridiculous. So we could sit down and just do an assessment of your married life and your children. It doesn't do any good to growl or say, throw up your hands and say, I disagree, or I tried doing this once. That doesn't cut it with God. God says regularly. And do you want to try to teach a kid at 13 to obey or at 2? Some of you have tried with teenagers. Good luck. You've got a number of years of negativity built into that relationship. The sooner you start with children, disciplining them biblically and properly, the greater likelihood they will be obedient children later on in life. Now, hear me. I've raised two kids. Both of them went through a period of time where their brains fell out of their head. A lot of you know my kids, okay? Brains didn't fall out of my head. You can only raise them to do what's right. They are accountable for their messes and decisions to Almighty God, not you. God will hold you accountable for how you raise them. Because if you try to lay a spiritual foundation and your kids were ultimately rebels And all children are. Even that cute little girl. That's on them. Your effort is, did you try to raise them, or were you apathetic? Were you passive? Did you point at mom and say, Mom, you do it. You take them to church. You pray with them. I'm busy. Good luck at standing face to face with the Lord when that happens. Now, this statement comes from the Journal of the American Institute of Criminal Law and Criminology. Do you think they know anything about working with rebels? Yes? Okay. As I read this, I want you to just think about our current culture. Now, when I grew up 50 years ago or more, it says this. But think about the riots that we have seen in the last few years. Think of the increased gang activity. Think of the just millions of abortions that have taken place in just this country. Think of all of the substance abuse and the blatant disrespect for virtually all authority. Does that bother you? And a lot of churches are doing. It's like we're paralyzed what to do. Here's what this Journal of the American Institute of Criminal Law and Criminology had to say. If this offends you, if you disagree with this, you're again entitled to be. Every baby starts life as a little savage. That is catchy. He or she is completely selfish and self-centered. They when they want it. His body's attention, his playmate's toys, his uncle's watch, whatever. Yes or no? Okay, you agree. Deny him these. Sit down with the cutest little child and say this. No. Do you realize in this church I do that? To some people? Because I want to see your character. I don't care as much about the job. I want to know your motive for the wanting to do something. So sometimes I'll just say no, or not today, or maybe never, and just watch you do this. Deny them these, and he seethes with rage and aggressiveness. Could be passive aggressiveness, which would be murderous were he not so helpless. Really? That's our. We have David Shaver works in the prison system. David, where are you at, Dave? Am I right on? He is that not true of babies? This means that children, not just certain children, but all children are born delinquents. If permitted to continue in their self-centered world of infancy, given free rein to their impulsive actions, to satisfy each want and craving, every child would grow up a criminal, a thief, a killer, a rapist. David Shaver will be glad to talk to you. He's worked in the prison system for 30 plus years. That is a child with a sin nature. You and I have the privilege of trying to represent God to that child, leading that child to God, and helping them live to their fullest potential for which God created them. That's a challenge, folks. Anybody can be passive. Anybody can be non-existent. Anybody can be hostile. But to be a God-fearing parent with little monsters running loose in your house, it takes some guts. And you have to ask yourself, why do we see this stuff in our culture? You've got to answer the why. And watch this. When all the stuff I mentioned is happening in our culture, when we do this, we've abdicated the responsibility God's given us. We can't influence all of them. We can influence who? Our kids, our grandkids. And then as we do so, other people begin to look at you and they think, how come your kids just sit there at the table and they don't interrupt adults? Yeah, you've got for them. God basically says if you love your kids, you have to discipline them. Again, if you want to talk about discipline, I'll be glad to have an appointment with you and talk about biblical discipline, not the way we tend to lash out. Here's the fourth word, where. Where in life are we to obey our parents? Two words. It's in everything. Remember, this passage is written to spiritually minded parents who love God and who have their children's best interests at heart. It's sad not every church person is like that. But this is who, and I said this in the beginning of the series, this is written to show you God's plan for change in your family, in your church, in your culture. The only limit ever placed on obedience in the Bible would be if a parent were to demand something contrary to God's law or out of the realm of possibility or would put someone's life, including yours, at risk. That's the only time when a child should say to their parents, I can't do that. Your parents say, I was a youth pastor for 20 years. I can take you right to the people's house. If I told you their last name, half this church would know them. Young girl came to our youth group. I followed her up the next week. I knocked on the door. Here's what I heard from a nice Nashvillian. What do you want? I wonder if she talks to the postman that way. I said, I'd like to, you know, your daughter stopped by. I'd like to see her. She says, you're the youth pastor over such and such place. I said, yeah. She says, listen, buddy. That's going to be a pleasant conversation. Listen, buddy. I never want my daughter ever going to a church. I don't care if she sleeps with everybody in the high school and she gets strung out on drugs. She ain't going to your church or any church. Mama has a problem. When parents tell you you can't read your Bible, when you can't pray, when you can't go to church, children, you're under no obligation to obey them. Now, you handle it the best way you can as a child, but you must obey God. Acts 5:29, when the apostles were told to quit talking about Jesus, to quit emphasizing their faith and propagating their faith, it says in Acts 5:29, Peter and the other apostles replied, "We must obey God rather than human beings." So, where are we to obey our parents? In every area of life, unless it's something that's contrary to God's word, common sense, or we would say safety. Remember, if you're in a one-winged marriage, it's going to be tough. Agreed? But the one-winger, not the no-winger, I hope you understand who that is, has to stand up for God. And here's what happens. The no-winger is going to show their love for you by beating you down, verbally and or physically, withholding sex, withholding finances. Isn't that a loving spouse? Fifth, here's the question. Why? Why must children obey? A selfish and sinful person will disobey God and whoever else they choose because they don't want to be told what to do and they surely don't want to be inconvenienced. Would you agree? All of us are in that camp at one time or another, right? Any of you like being told no? I'll say it sweetly. No. No. We don't like that. Why should we? Because obedience is God's primary love language. All through the Old and New Testament, God values obedience more than religious rituals. Obedience illustrates the harmony between He and His Son. Obedience illustrates the harmony and the love between Jesus and His church. And within a marriage, obedience of children is just that. It reflects God. Matthew 3:17, you'll see this picture pop. There you go. This is Jesus what? After his baptism, In Matthew 3:17, the Father spoke from heaven. As Jesus obeyed all righteousness, and a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son whom I love." And I like the last few words. "With him I am well pleased." Jesus could have walked around going, "Do you know who I am, Johnny Baptist boy? I'm Jesus. I'm out of my way, dude. Photo shoot." No. He did what his Father expected him to do. He obeyed. And God publicly said, "With him I am what?" A little later, John chapter 8, verse 29, Jesus said these words, "The one who sent me is with me." The Father is with me. "For I always do what he pleases." Notice the words, "I always." Now, is anyone in this room perfect? None of us are. Will there disobey? Disobedience is a sin. So how do you handle that? If we're not teaching our kids to repent of their sin and to ask forgiveness and learn new skills, we're failing them. All kids are going to disobey. All adults disobey. But obedience is God's what? Love language. You've got to remember, and I forget this all the time, God has chosen to adopt us, you and I, into his family. Did he need to do that? He wanted to do that. He chose to forgive us. Are we worthy of that? He chose to save us. He chose to gift us. He chose to indwell us. He chooses to provide for us continually, and nobody here is perfect, and yet he still does that for us. And then God has chosen to call you and I his children. Do you realize what a privilege that is? And if you've got somebody who loves you that much, the least we can do is look at his words and say, "To the best of my ability, I will obey." Very good. As we get done here, why would a Christian not obey? You don't need to answer. You need to think about that. Call yourself a Christian. Why do you disobey? Well, it's easy, right? I'm not perfect, right? But if you're finding more disobedience in your life than obedience, you really need to deal with yourself. And then this is a broader question to many people. Why would a Christian parent not train their children to obey? Got real quiet, didn't it? Why? Why won't you bring your kids to Clubhouse? Now, many of you have. But this message is being broadcast all around the world. Why don't people come to Clubhouse or our Bridge teen ministry? Ryan, Hickey, how many teens, junior and senior high, do we have on our church roll? Close to 60 teenagers. Ryan just did a camp out for the teens up on the hill. Now, just as an example, Ryan, how many kids were there? Just kids. And were any of them visitors? So 13 out of our nearly 60 kids were there. Now, I know everybody's got an excuse, right? Everybody else has obligations, right? But you only have a child in your home and under your influence that short of a period of time. I urge you to get engaged with this church and try to raise the children properly and biblically, and try to raise the teens that way. And for you, if you're not involved in a ministry, get off your chair and get involved in one of those two ministries, because those are the two ministries that can make the biggest difference in a child's life. 80% of all people who are Christians did so before they were the age 18. And if you allow a kid to say, "No, I don't like it," watch the stupid answer. "None of my friends are there." Really? Oh, okay, hon. So you just allowed your child to dictate the rules of the house. Folks, we have to work together to influence children, to serve in this church, and be a light to those around us. This week in the email that goes out on Tuesday, you're going to get two web links that I would encourage you as a parent to look at. Why we allow our children to disobey. And second one, why learning to obey is good for our children. I would hope as a parent or a grandparent, you'd care enough to look at those. Next week, we're going to talk about parenting. Now, you may think this was all about parenting. Nay, nay. This was about obedience. Next week, we're going to talk about parenting and hopefully learn some skills that will help us. Obedience is God's what? Colossians 3:20. Let's say it together. Children, you know what I hope to see? Everybody here would post that on some form of social media. Colossians 3:20. Just post that. See what kind of responses you get. If somebody goes mindlessly, like I do, like. Doesn't that bug you? So you get a like and you look at the name. It's nobody from Grace. It's somebody else. What did you like about that? You've just been deleted as a friend, probably. But you realize we've got something to help people. It's called the Bible. So, is anyone here perfect? So don't beat yourself up. Go home and say, God wants me to be better as a parent. God wants me better as a child. And we will bring a smile to his face. Amen.